intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, does anyone still believe in geocentrism? You know, the extreme version of it that teaches that the sun goes around the earth. Does anybody believe in that?
Everything goes around the earth, right?
The whole universe.
The whole universe, even. Well, you know, there's a film tonight, Bob, that's airing in Chicago called The Principal. Now, this isn't about a school principal.
No.
This is, you know, this is
the Copernican principle.
The Copernican principle.
Which says that, well, the way it's used today, that the earth is not in a special place. Now, Copernicus believed that God created us.
Yes.
So he would object to the way this principle is being used today. But this film called The Principal is about extreme geocentrism, the claim that the sun goes around the earth. And, Fred, that the stars go around the earth once.
The farthest star away.
Every 24 hours. And the galaxies. So this is an extreme claim. It's premiering tonight at the Addison Cinema in Chicagoland. And tonight, Friday, October 24th, 2014. And we have had interaction with the principals behind the movie.
Yeah, you've actually saw a screening of this movie.
Well, the producer, Rick Delano, and their marketing guy, and I've interacted with some of the key authors in this extreme geocentrism movie, and we've produced an article that now we will publish on our website, realscienceradio.com/geocentrism. But Fred, we were so discouraged when we screened. We were the first group. We invited about 15 scientists, engineers, listeners to Real Science Radio in the Denver area. And I apologize. Do you recall now you were busy that night?
Yeah, I couldn't make it that night. And I was really disappointed because it sounded really exciting. This is supposed to be a movie that is about Earth, its importance in the universe. You know,
and that the Big Bang is not true.
The Big Bang, that's right. Evidence against the Big Bang.
What we've called the axis of evil, the astronomers call the axis of evil. And that
there was no hint of this being about geocentrism.
I asked before the screening because I found out that Rick Delano is a geocentrist. And so I called Rick and asked, and is this film about geocentrism? He said, Bob, it's about anisotropy. It's about the axis of evil. It's about the Copernican principle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I thought, okay, Rick is a geocentrist, but this film is against the Big Bang.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well, that's what I remember clearly.
Yeah.
And then I remember the next day, I was excited to call you to ask you how this went.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, Fred, I had to apologize to everybody there. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. And as soon as it ended, I stood up and I apologized to the group because I said I was under the belief, I was misled. I thought this was simply against the Big Bang. I did not know it was a movie on geocentrism. I even asked ahead of time. And if I had known, I would not have scheduled the screening. Or I would have warned everybody.
And he's there, right? Rick
Delano's
there.
Rick was
there. How did he respond to that?
He did not. It's as though I hadn't said that comment. Because we went on to have more than an hour, very robust discussion about how the film itself was very misleading. But Fred, the people in the film, now it's narrated by a very well-known actress.
Kate Mulgrew.
She's a Star Trek
lady.
Gal.
Yep.
She was the first female pilot of a starship, and they got lost for 7 years.
Is that what happened?
They were lost, and it took 7 seasons to find
I recognize her picture back here on our notes, but I never saw those shows.
So she narrates it, and then it has interviews with famous cosmologists and astrophysicists. I mean, Lawrence Krauss.
Our friend Lawrence.
Theoretical physicist.
Emphasis on the theoretical.
That's him. And George Ellis, Miki Okaku, Max Tegmark, and John Hartnett
creation,
who's a dear friend of Real Science Radio.
Creation.com, CMI.
Yeah, he's great. He's a young Earth creationist. And so all these scientists are interviewed in the film, and Kate Mulgrew is the narrator. And there's something very deceptive that happens in the film that's similar, I feel, like the way I was misled. These scientists are admitting something is not right with the Big Bang prediction. Mm-hmm. Something is really wrong. And the film is really produced and edited in a neat way. Rick Delano spent a lot of money on this film. Very professional.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're admitting is that there seems to be a special plane to the universe, what they call the axis of evil.
We had a show on that.
For the most part, that's what they're admitting to, that the universe seems to not be this homogeneous isotropic blob.
Yeah, we've used it as a great evidence against the Big Bang.
Right, exactly. That's what they are admitting. Not that they believe the Big Bang is not true, but they're admitting that there's this tension with the evidence. In the version that we saw, and this was 1 year before it was released, it was cut in such a way to make the audience think that these scientists were admitting that geocentrism might be true.
Oh, man.
And that was the farthest thing from any of their minds.
Yeah.
Not a one of them had any thought whatsoever of geocentrism.
Wow.
And that the sun revolves around the earth. So it was very misleading to the audience and abused the audience in that way. And so I think that's really sad. And Kate Mulgrew, Star Trek captain,
mm-hmm.
just like she's the one responsible for getting them lost for 7 years, I think she's the one that really bears some responsibility for this fiasco, because she read the entire script.
Yeah.
I mean, it's her voice.
They should have used Jesse Ventura.
Why?
Oh, he's big into conspiracies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So she should have read the script in advance, had a science consultant look at it,
mm-hmm.
and warn her about what she was getting
what
into.
She's presenting here.
Because these other scientists, they were simply interviewed, and unbeknownst to them what it was all about. She read the script.
Yeah.
So she should have known. But anyway, so could we talk about the whole topic? And I think this is going to bring up so many fun scientific particulars.
Well, Bob, you've done a lot of work on this over the years. I mean, preparing for the show, you know, I wish I'd have had like a year and a half to prepare.
Yeah, right? Because there is so much science that is related to this question of, is the Earth motionless in the center of the universe?
Yeah, a lot of real interesting science.
Yeah.
And there's lots of scripture that we can talk about that they use as proof texts of geocentrism, and we'll show why those aren't proof texts, why
exactly.
you can't make that leap.
So to start with, I think we should distinguish between two things. The Earth near the center of the universe, in our galaxy near the center, the Milky Way near the center.
Yeah, which we believe.
Right. Versus extreme geocentrism.
Yeah. Big difference.
Big difference. Right. So with the Milky Way being near the center. Now, how close to the center of the universe did we say on that program on the Copernican principle?
Well, I think when you use the concept of a party balloon as an example, about an eighth of an inch off from the center of that
center.
Just give you kind of a dimensional idea.
Yeah. And the reason astronomers have said that's significant is because if we were dead center, then you would think, well, it's just an optical illusion of an isotropic universe that makes us think we're in the center, but we're not really. But lo and behold, we're just off center.
Slightly offset.
So, you know, God's ways of doing things are always best. And so in this program, we're not only going to show the evidence that the Earth is moving, it's rotating on its axis, it's orbiting around the sun, but also that we can see why God designed things the way he did. Mm-hmm. And it's all just so perfect.
It is. It's really cool.
Yeah. So extreme geocentrism is not galactocentrism. It's not that the Milky Way is near the center of the universe. It's that the Earth is in the center of the solar system, which it's not. The sun is.
Yep.
And that the Earth is in the center of the whole
center of the whole thing.
And that the Earth doesn't move.
It doesn't move at all.
In the whole universe.
Fixed.
Now, if in fact that were true, that means that Neptune, the planet Neptune, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, that the planet Neptune speeds around us faster than the speed of light.
Faster than the speed of light.
That planet. But you ain't seen nothing yet, because if the galaxies are orbiting the Earth once every 24 hours, then the further away the galaxies get, the faster they got to be moving.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse the farther you get out. And in this case, it'd be 30 trillion times the speed of light.
30. So the furthest galaxies that we know of,
yeah,
would have to be moving
30 trillion.
30 trillion times the speed of light. And Fred, I think we Christians and conservatives, everyone, should always be humble before God, our creator. And we could recognize that if God wanted to build a universe like that,
mm-hmm,
where galaxies were moving 30 trillion times faster than we know the speed of light to be,
He could do it.
God is really God.
Yeah.
He's really good. And so he could do it, but I think the science and the biblical material will rebut the claim that the Earth is stationary.
So there's, for example, hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
There's the Earth's rotating core.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bulge at the equator.
Whoa.
And what about the wobble of the Earth?
The Earth's wobble.
And these are all going to be things that we'll show as evidence, yeah, against
the, we'll talk about
being
these,
all stationary. Earthquakes and rotational speed.
The Earth, the speed that it rotates.
Yep.
Oh, and geostationary.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Satellites.
Yep.
So these are interesting things like hurricanes. How is it that hurricanes could give any indication that the Earth is moving? How could it show that the Earth is rotating on its axis?
Well, hurricanes spin in opposite directions in the northern and southern hemispheres.
Whoa, that's true. I've seen that. I've seen that for years.
Yeah.
On like weather programs. So they do spin in opposite directions.
They spin in opposite directions. Now the myth that toilet water spins in opposite directions is totally not true.
Okay.
So we can disclaim that right now.
Yes. But that myth probably originated because of hurricanes.
Absolutely. That is, yes, where that came from.
And so we do know, and as we go on, right now we're just giving sort of an overview.
Yeah.
But a little later we'll get into how it is, why would hurricanes rotate in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's on a sphere that's rotating, it's a very well-known scientific demonstrable effect that those hurricanes will rotate in opposite directions if the sphere that they're on is itself rotating.
Rotating. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So how about, you mentioned the rotating core. So beneath the surface of the Earth, there's rock that's melted. And that melted rock produces instability, and so we have earthquakes. But are you saying, Fred, that the core of the Earth, the outer core is liquid, and it's rotating? I guess
that's
it,
right,
would be,
it's,
right, with the whole Earth.
Yeah, but at a different speed.
What?
Yeah.
Come on. Which,
that was actually news to me from a, you know, I learned that on Real Science Radio about, yeah, a year ago.
Yeah, right? Wasn't that a great show,
yeah,
too? So the core of the Earth, now the inner core is solid, crystalline.
Mm-hmm.
The outer core is magma. And like the whole Earth,
yep, liquid,
it's rotating, but it is rotating at a different rate than is the mantle and the crust.
That's right. And that's what the scientific evidence shows.
Yeah. And so by the laws of physics, a faster rotating core is a predictable result if the Earth had a global tectonic catastrophe,
mm-hmm,
like happened in the global flood in
That's
the hydroplate,
right,
theory.
And so, there's something called angular momentum. It's a law of physics.
Oh, yeah.
So and how does that play into this?
So, well, if the material that is now the outer core, the liquid core, if it's rotating along with the rest of the Earth and it melts, right, it heats up, gets so, mm-hmm, hot that it melts, then it's going to compress under that much pressure that far down beneath the surface. And as it compresses, basically the whole Earth shrinks a little and the Earth speeds up its rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But the outer core is where most of that compression is happening. It's going to speed up even more.
That's right. We and see that. We measure that.
We measure it. And so many things in science all tie together. And when you have God's word as your foundation, you could really understand. And that's why we no longer have a 360-day year, which I think we'll get it to.
Yeah.
That's why today the Earth spins a bit faster. We have a 365-day year. So cool. Well, let me ask you this. The highest point on Earth, Everybody says it's Mount Everest, right?
Yep.
But if you measure it from the center of the Earth, the highest point is not Mount Everest in the Himalayas.
Well, there's a mountain in Ecuador with a...
Fred, whoever thought there were even mountains in Ecuador? Yeah. But the reason a mountain in Ecuador is higher than Everest in the Himalayas is because at the equator, there is a bulge. So the Earth is not this perfect sphere, yeah. Yep. But because it's spinning on its axis, because of angular momentum, the center at the equator is being thrust outward. And so
it's a little bit higher, but it's not really a mountain. It's a bulge.
It's a bulge. So there's a mountain on a bulge.
Yeah.
And so the bulge itself, if the Earth was not spinning, the equator would be 26 miles less in diameter than it is.
Gotcha.
So there's a 26-mile additional bulge around the center of the Earth, the mm-hmm. equator. And that, Fred, was predicted long ago by physicists who were using regular old Isaac Newton equations mm-hmm. on a rotating sphere. They figured it out. They predicted it a long ago, and it's more recently been measured so accurately.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see how the geocentrists explain that one.
Yeah, right.
And they try to come up with rescue devices.
They try for each
they
of
know
these.
A lot of most of these evidences, if not all of them.
Yeah. And so then there's earthquakes that you mentioned. You know, with every significant earthquake, there is an apparent speeding up of the Earth's rotation, and that is being measured using very sophisticated technology that we'll talk about. The speed of the rotation of the Earth. Now, the Earth is about 24,000 miles in diameter mm-hmm. at the equator. So if we have 24 hours in a day, then how fast would the Earth be moving at the equator? Let's see, 24,000 divided by 24.
1,000 miles per hour.
That's good math.
Hey.
Right? So,
could just cross out a lot of zeros.
So the Earth's miles per hour rotation at the equator, it's 1,000 miles per hour. And we're also moving around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. Well, we could figure out those speeds when we shoot satellites into orbit, because geostationary satellites, which we should talk about a little later. Again, this is a summary. Geostationary satellites, we launch them near the equator, so they take advantage of the speed of the Earth's rotation. So if the geocentrists were right, we should be launching these things from Iceland or Finland.
Good point.
But we don't, because up near the poles, the Earth is not rotating rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Like here in Denver, we're about 500 miles an hour. You get near the equator, you're moving about 1,000 miles an hour. So you add that to the speed of the launch rockets. So it helps.
Yeah.
Well, once a satellite gets in its position, it's really moving fast in miles per hour. And if it's geostationary over Denver, that means it's moving 500 miles an hour. And now it stops accelerating and it just stays in place, geostationary. So if the Earth were not spinning, that means that the satellite just stopped and it should fall to the Earth. It's only
right.
The basics of the laws of Kepler mm-hmm. and Isaac Newton's, you know, gravity and the basic equations why these geostationary satellites stay right where they are. Well, we want to talk more about that, too, in a little bit. So then there's the wobble of the Earth's axis, which has been measured so carefully.
Oh, absolutely.
And yep. It's predictable based on annual factors and earthquakes. They actually measured the amount
so
of the wobble.
So geocentrists don't at least allow a wobble of the Earth?
No.
Nothing. It's got to be perfectly stationary.
To them, the Earth is the rock-solid center of the whole universe.
And it doesn't move an inch.
The whole universe. So, in fact, I mentioned that night to Rick Delano, the producer of this film, The Principal, which mm-hmm. is premiering tonight in Chicago. I don't expect it's going to open in theaters around the country. I imagine it's going to go straight to DVD or YouTube. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I mentioned to him in our rebuttals that we presented, when we have an earthquake, we measure, we have atomic clocks, and we have the GPS system, the satellites in orbit above the Earth, and we measure the speeding up of the Earth's rotation. We measure
when the earthquakes occur.
When earthquakes
occur. And that's all part of angular momentum.
Yes. And so this is how Rick answered. He said, well, if that's true, and I'm not saying it's true that the Earth speeds up when we have an earthquake, mm-hmm. but if it's true, what it's telling us is that there's a disturbance out in the galaxies.
The Oort cloud?
No, way out. Like in the.
I was just trying to think of a rescue device. That's already used as one. Why not borrow it for another one?
Right. There's a disturbance in the furthest galaxies.
A disturbance in the force.
That's causing an earthquake here.
A disturbance in the galaxy. Yeah. That sounds like a disturbance in the force.
That's an extreme rescue device.
Yeah. It's a story. Story.
It's pretty wild, really.
Yeah.
So at any rate, the church, science, and the globe. So we're working through our arguments.
You know, Bob, we have this myth that a lot of people still cling to, that somehow the church, you know, for one thing, taught that the Earth was flat, which was totally not true.
Yeah, the church never taught. In fact, no schools ever taught, Fred, that the Earth was flat. That's a myth that's been fully documented, even by a Berkeley history professor.
Who's not going to be a friend of the Bible.
No, not
at
all.
But he's admitting this was all a myth that people cling to today. Well, another one by this atheist astronomer, Phil Plait.
Oh, yeah.
He said that these are people who believe that the Earth is fixed in space. Now he's referring to geocentrism. Unmoving and unmovable, and the universe literally revolves around it.
Yeah.
Without exception, in my experience, those followers of geocentrism believe in it due to a literal interpretation of the Bible. And then he says that Genesis is loaded with them. And that's totally not true. Is there any reference to geocentrism in Genesis?
Right. So Phil Plait, who we've sparred with, over the use of the term evolution to apply to the Big Bang. All these Big Bang and astronomy textbooks use the
word
evolution
on the
in
cover.
Their titles.
Yeah.
And he tells us we can't refer to astronomy stuff as the evolution of stars, planets. It's just crazy. Anyway, so he says that Genesis is loaded with passages that support geocentrism. He's simply wrong.
He's misinformed.
There's not a single passage in Genesis that implies that the Earth is stationary, motionless, and the sun goes around the Earth. Now, and what's interesting about that, and we'll get more into this, is that the passages that are used to claim that the Bible teaches that the Earth doesn't move at all, those passages are not in the extensive creation scriptures in the Bible.
Yeah.
They're not
in the historical accounts of the creation.
They're not in the narratives.
Not at all.
They're in these anecdotal, incidental comments.
Yeah, like the Psalms and Proverbs.
And they're used as metaphors, which, why don't we get right into that now, Fred? Because, you know, the Bible, earthquakes, and the earth shall move and tremble. Those are the topics now. You know, when a figure skater pulls in her arms, by the law of the conservation of angular momentum, she spins more rapidly. We've all seen that.
Yeah.
Well, just like the skater pulling in her arms, in earthquakes, the earth squeezes itself more tightly by basically falling in on itself, so to speak.
Yeah, just a little bit, but enough to cause angular momentum
to speed up the earth.
Faster.
Now, a lava eruption can have the opposite effect if it's making the diameter of the earth greater, because like in Hawaii, we're making islands.
Mm-hmm.
So that can have an opposite effect, and that's all understood. So scientists using the same law of physics, they show that after a major earthquake, careful measurements should show, they sure seem to, that you have an increase in speed with which we see the stars appearing to spin around the earth just a little bit more quickly.
Yeah.
The next morning, or the helical rising of a certain star, here it comes a little sooner than we thought, like nanoseconds sooner, because of major earthquakes. So now let's leave the question of physics for a moment to consider some of what the Bible says about the Earth's movement, much of which is metaphor, referring to deeper spiritual matters, like this: let the peoples tremble, let the earth be moved.
Psalm 99.
Yeah.
One.
Now, Fred, that's a spiritual reference. Let the peoples tremble. Let the earth be moved. Mm-hmm. To say, oh, that proves the geocentrists are wrong because it says let the earth be moved, that would be taking that out of context.
Yeah, that would be yanking a story out of there that isn't there.
Right. So, but they're doing the reverse,
yep,
which we'll get to in a moment. But there are more than a dozen verses that describe the earth itself trembling, which are a bit more literal, such as the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. And so we see during the events of the global flood and all major earthquakes and all the tectonic upheaval, we see that there really is some quaking going on in the earth. And so if the Bible did teach that the earth absolutely is motionless, that it does not move, well, then even the geocentrists have to admit that's not an absolute because it does move. We measure it moving.
Yeah.
It shakes. Even our opponents in this, who are extreme geocentrists, even they admit that when big earthquakes happen, you could feel the earth shaking from one side of the earth to the other.
Yeah.
So that at least the earth shakes at some level.
Yeah. It's a temporary occasion, right? It's this real brief shaking.
A trembling from an earthquake. Yeah. But they admit that. So if it were true that the whole universe is really established on the earth, you'd think that the case would be absolute. The earth's just not going to move.
Yeah.
But the whole universe centered on the earth, yet the earth trembles. So even to them, they have to admit, based on earthquakes, that it's not an absolute, that the earth can shake and tremble. And they do admit earthquakes.
Yeah, but they're not going to admit that it's rotating faster because it's not rotating at all as far as they're concerned.
Right. So now when we get to their verses that do say the earth shall not be moved, mm-hmm. well, Fred, the earth shall not be moved and neither shall I. Because that's the sense of these verses. Now, an extreme geocentrist, they point out that the verses that we quote in our article that show the earth moving, mm-hmm. that those verses use different Hebrew verbs than the verses that they like. They like the Hebrew verbs from the root word mot, M-O-W-T, and I don't speak Hebrew, but I could look it up in a lexicon. Mm-hmm. And so when God says in 1 Chronicles 16 that the earth shall not be moved, the Hebrew there is mot, M-O-W-T. Well, there are a bunch of verses that use that same root word, and I'll give some examples. That God laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. It's that same root word.
Okay.
But the same root word is used for other kinds of verses, isn't it?
Yeah. For example, God's people shall not be moved.
In Psalm 16.
Is the earth and the universe going around me right now? Am I the center of the universe?
You do. Well, sometimes we think we are.
Sometimes, yeah.
But so it shows us that these words are used as a metaphor. In Psalm 21, the godly king shall not be moved. And those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved.
Same verb.
Same root word, but abides forever. So we trust in the Lord, so we shall not be moved. It's a figure of speech. If you take it literally, you're confused.
Exactly.
And we give many examples of this. And so I think what we've shared right now is probably sufficient. People could go to our article, rsr.org/geocentrism, and find all the verses.
Yeah, you've done a great job of providing all kinds of examples of that verb and other verbs.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
It's taking it woodenly, literally, to say that that has to mean physically mm-hmm. it can't move at all.
Yeah. It's not a very good argument that the Bible supports geocentrism.
Right. No.
Because otherwise, I could, again, say that I'm the center of the universe. You are. That the ice skater can't be a Christian because, you know, it said that godly person, you know, it's silly. There's so much you could twist out of this.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And when the Bible talks about the earth being shaken exceedingly, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. It shall totter like a hut. You know, these are showing the actual history of the earth. And the earth has gone through incredible physical mm-hmm. trauma. And that's shaky.
Yeah.
Now let's consider the relative apparent motion of the Earth and the stars and the wobble and the speeding up of the Earth after earthquakes. In fact, maybe what we should do is continue this on our next program, because I love this stuff because it helps me understand the scientific disciplines that go into this overall topic of how do we know that the Earth is moving.
Yeah, there's a lot of physical laws. I mean, laws of science. A law of science is something pretty much everybody agrees to. It's very rigorous. It's a law. It's not an idea. It's not a hypothesis. It's not a theory. It's a law of science.
Right, like the conservation of angular momentum. Yeah,
there's a lot of laws of science that have to be contradicted to be a geocentrist.
Yes, like geostationary satellites just staying suspended over Denver, 22,000 miles up. Fred Bobinier Live used to bounce off those satellites, and they'd always be there in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gravity, they'd crash to Earth if they weren't moving at exactly the right speed to stay hovered.
Well, do they believe in gravity?
Some of them seem to question gravity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we'll continue next
Sounds
show.
Great.
All right. So this has been Bob Benyart and Fred Williams on Real Science Radio. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy this program, please help us in a couple ways. Get our Global Flood and Hydroplate Theory video. You'll love it. It's our latest resource. Get any of our science materials. Go to rsr.org, rsr.org, click on the store, and even, now not too many people do this, they do it for BEL, but not Real Science Radio, you could even make a monthly pledge to help us stay on the air. You know, whether it's $20 a month, $50, $100, maybe more, if you really like this program. And if we get enough revenue, we'd love to get on more stations. We're on a couple shortwave stations right now and the most powerful Christian station in America, KLTT out of Denver, 50,000 watts. So this is Bob Benyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Talking about.